My guest, Seymour Stein, founded Sire Records and signed Madonna, the Ramones, and Talking Heads, launching their careers. Stein learned the record business at King Records, where founder Sid Nathan became his mentor. At Nathan's funeral, Stein was one of the pallbearers. When Nathan was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Seymour Stein was the presenter. Stein was only 14 when he met Sid Nathan. At the time, the young Stein was working at Billboard magazine. Billboard used to host listening sessions where record company owners would play their recordings and try to persuade Billboard to give them a good review. Stein met Sid Nathan at one of those sessions.
I remember that session, you know, like it was yesterday. And it was over 50 years ago. Sid was there and another record man was there as well. What I remember very clearly was there were a large amount of records to listen to, and the last two or three were on the Jubilee label, and one of the reporters said, I hear Jubilee Records is going out of business. Why should we even bother with these records? He said, I'm sure, you know, Sid is getting a little bored here. And Sid said, in the way he spoke, you know, he said, look, what if I wasn't here? Would you talk that way about me? Listen to these records. And so the person said, boy, Jerry Blaine, who is the owner of Jubilee Records, he said, he must be a good friend of yours. And he said, oh, no, I'm suing the son of a bitch. And he said, but what's right is right, you know. And one of the records actually became a hit. I can't remember. It might have been White Silver Sands by Don Rondo or someone like that.
So how did you get to work for Sid Nathan?
He invited me out to spend the summer with him. I was still in high school. I was 15. And I said, yeah, wow. And my parents were a bit, you know, my father was an Orthodox Jew and, you know, I just didn't understand all of this. And I'd brought them up to Billboard. And an appointment was made, which I didn't talk to my parents for a couple of weeks. I was so embarrassed that they would, you know, question something that was so wonderful. And just as he walked into Sid's office, he put out my father's cheap cigar, and Sidney immediately reached into his pocket and gave him a Havana, which my father was not used to. And he had my father in his pocket. And he said, well, he said, Seymour here, he's got shellac in his veins. And what a compliment. It meant that, you know, I was a record man, you know, because shellac was the main ingredient in old 78s. And then he explained that to my father. He said, if you don't let him do what he wants to do, he's going to wind up doing nothing, and you'll have to buy him a newspaper route because that's all he'll be good for. And this was April. And my parents rushed home, and when I got home, everything was packed. I wasn't supposed to leave till the end of June when high school was up.
So how old were you when you went to work with Sid Nathan at King Records full-time?
Full-time. Was 1961, 62, so I would have been 19 or just turning 20.
Mm-hmm. Now, one of the things that Sid Nathan did for you after you started working with him at King Records was tell you to change your name. Your real last name was?
Oh, I was born with the name Steinbeagle, Seymour Steinbeagle.
And what was wrong with that in Sid Nathan's eyes?
It was too long. And he kept asking me to change it. And I didn't want to hurt my father's feelings. My father was the eldest son, and both his brothers had changed their name, had shortened it. But he felt, out of respect to his father, he should keep it.
But you did change it.
Yes. Not everybody had phones at King Records. People shared phones, as much as three or four people could share a phone at one time. But there was a paging system, And the switchboard operator had one microphone, and Sid had the other one on his desk. And I was being paged. I had an incoming call. Seymour Steinbegel, pick up the closest phone. Seymour Steinbegel, there's a call. And she was repeating it over and over again. And all of a sudden, Sid's voice came on. And he said, "Oh, no, it's Stein or Bigel or back to New York." And I was so, I almost started to cry. I was so embarrassed. And I changed my name, and I'm very glad that I did.
So you got started at Billboard magazine. Do you ever miss the importance of the charts, the days when, like, top 40 really meant something?
I miss it a lot.
What do you miss about it?
I miss all the excitement. I mean, that's how I heard about Billboard. There was this disc jockey long before rock and roll, Martin Block.
WNEW in New York.
Yes.
Make-believe ballroom.
Exactly. It's make-believe ballroom time and free to everyone. Well, I would come back on Saturday mornings from the synagogue and have my radio sort of under the pillow so my father couldn't hear it when he came home, listening to Martin Block play the top 25 off of the Billboard chart. And later he started playing, in addition, the top 5 R&B and the top 5 country and western. And that's how I got introduced to Johnny Cash and Ray Price and Hank Williams on the one hand, and to some of the R&B records, to my idol, Fats Domino, as well. Radio was very important in the charts, and they played the Billboard charts. That was what Martin Block played off of, and that's how I knew to go up to Billboard.
So you miss it. You miss those days of the charts.
Oh, I sure do.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Seymour Stein, a pleasure to talk with you. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
Seymour Stein founded Sire Records and got his start at King Records with King's founder, Sid Nathan. The new book about King Records, King of the Queen City, was written by John Harley Fox. We want to thank Brian Powers for all his help with our show about King. He's the music librarian at the Public Library of Cincinnati and has done extensive research on King.